and the sainted Dr. William Zinanti, MD, PhD, Silver Fox, standing at approximately 7 feet tall and rippling muscles, brimming with testosterone. Dr. Z, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. Good to talk to you, Jack.
Yeah, I everybody's upset with me, Bill, because yesterday I had a debate with Billy Sunshine, and everyone was saying, oh, you're so hard on Billy. You go after Billy all the time. You rip into Billy every time you guys talk about coronavirus. But every time Dr. Z's on the line, you don't do the same thing. And it just, then what I said was, my exact quote was, I love Dr. Z. I hate Billy Sunshine. I'm not going to throw Dr. Z under the bus. So... but Bill, I wanted to talk to you about this because I went on a big old rant yesterday about kids and masks. And my general thesis goes like this. I'm looking at the amalgam of data in front of me, and I'm looking at the fact that tragically about 350 kids have died from coronavirus. Tragically. I hate when all these right-wing commentators are like, only 350 kids have died. I hate that kind of talking point. But just looking at the data, that's what that suggests. I'm looking at the effectiveness of the vaccine, and I'm taking into consideration, do we force kids to wear masks in schools? Do we have teachers wear masks in schools, as Governor Jay Inslee is proposing? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I had a high-risk kid, I would have them wear the mask. But as I said yesterday, I would not force my healthy children to not wear or to wear the mask. I just feel like that's ridiculous. So that's my initial perspective on the issue. But you, as a physician, I know that you're always erring on the side of caution. Would you mind explaining why you hold that position?
Well, because you don't want anybody to get hurt. You know, you want to try to maximize the potential benefit for everybody. And, you know, this is a deadly virus. You know, over half a million people, you know, have died from this virus just in this country, right? Above 600,000.
Yeah.
And so, this is a deadly virus. We've established that the asymptomatic folks are carrying this virus and definitely a nice reservoir to generate mutations that then become dangerous variants, like the Delta variant. And, you know, unfortunately, we're probably not done churning out variants. And so my thought on the matter is make it fun for the kids, you know, like make, you know, cool masks, right, that they'll want to wear, you know, like a Boa Fett mask or, you know, Stormtrooper mask or
I got,
something.
Bill, I have the best idea ever. This is what we have to do. We get a mask. Hear me out on this. You can either be a Jack Stein or a Dr. Z, and we get masks that have your face on one of them and then my face on one of them right at the forefront. And so the little kids can go around and they can be like, I'm Dr. Z. And then the other little kids can be like, I'm Jack Stein. I complain all the time. I think that would really be... that we'd be selling like hotcakes, Dr. Z.
Hotcakes.
So
the other option is to make it fun. You know, make them like zombie masks, like they, you know, are dangerous little villains.
Yeah, but my concern is basically this, and I brought this up yesterday, and that are we not instilling unnecessary anxiety on these kids and putting these kids in a circumstance where they are so concerned about getting sick all the time? Bill, as you know, I've told you many times that, you know, my grandmother suffered from, you know, Munchausen's by proxy. She was constantly telling me that I was sick all of the time. I don't need to go in the backstory with you because you know it all. But my concern is that we are putting this on the kids. And the kids are going to go around and they're going to develop little tics around being around other people. Are they going to get nervous being around other people? Are they going to begin to suffer the peripheral effects of this, the anxiety of thinking that they could carry something that's going to kill somebody else? I find that to be really concerning. Have you seen that in your practice, or are kids just kind of going along to get along?
Well, it's funny that I'm all about like not freaking people out, explaining things, and helping people understand. And you know, this could actually be a really positive thing. It doesn't mean that if you have kids wearing masks that they're going to be freaked out and develop tics, like you have, Jack. And we want to make sure that they don't do that. And so, if you explain it to them and you take a look at stuff like the fact that there's a lower chance of getting the flu, there's a, much lower chance of getting sick in the winter if they are wearing a mask. And, it's all about not making such a big deal. I mean, really, is it that big of a deal to stop this thing in its tracks and, get past this?
Yeah, I feel like for many people, Bill, let me be a voice for all the people who don't like the mask. It's not so much about the mask. You know what I mean? It's not so much about the actual, I have to put it on. It's uncomfortable. It's filthy, so on and so forth. It's much more about the imposition on my life. And so when people say, oh, well, this is a massive inconvenience or whatever it is, I don't think 99% of people actually care about wearing it. They just don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told what to do. However, if I go to a private business, I've always made this caveat. If I went to a private business like Stacy's business or your business and I walked in and your wonderful front desk staff was like, hey, we want everyone to wear a mask, I would gladly put it on. But outside of that, I think it's that when government comes in and puts that kind of heavy hand on it, that's what turns people away. And I, also, Bill, I will say this, that if the Trump administration or the Biden administration had someone more like you, who's very kind and very gentle, who said, hey, looking at the data, this is what I would recommend, I think that more people would do it. I think that when you make it this top-down thing and you scare people, that's when people start going, wait, I don't know anybody who's died from coronavirus. Why do I got to do it? That's when all the hoax stuff comes up because it's so heavy-handed, as you pointed out, previously.
Well, it's become a real point of tension, because if you have somebody in a position of authority that's giving information that's now contrary to the information that's more thoughtful, it comes out as shock. Like, oh, well, we were told this already. We like that answer better.
Right.
Right.
So, Bill, we did have a question from last week. We had two, actually, that I have saved here. One of them is about mRNA. And the other one is from a listener of Knight's who's going to remain anonymous. And I'm just going to add the caveat that Dr. Z cannot treat or diagnose illness over the radio, because that would be no bueno. But this individual...
Without a good history.
Yeah, without a good history. Dr. Z, this person texted in. They said, hey, my mom is undergoing cancer treatment, and which vaccine is the safest for them to get? Now, obviously, I can't answer that question because I'm not a doctor. But Dr. Z, if you had someone in your practice, what would you discuss with them around this issue?
Well, I like the mRNA vaccines. I think it's brilliant, evidently really effective technology. For anyone that doesn't know, or just to recap, it is a messenger RNA vaccine. This bug is a messenger RNA.
Okay.
It's an RNA bug. And so what the vaccine does is it actually puts that messenger RNA, which is the blueprint, it's the photocopy of the blueprint. The gene is the blueprint. The messenger RNA is the photocopy of the blueprint that goes to the factory to make the protein. And so this is remarkable technology, because it actually starts making the spike protein, which the immune system recognizes as inflammatory. And it only does this in the local area where it's been injected. So the immune system finds it, causes an immune reaction, educates itself, and then makes antibodies against it so that the spike protein cannot basically enter your system.
Yeah, so this is the thing that I think that gets people, you know, like you always say it, Bill, you always say that what do people fear more than anything else? They fear the unknown. And I think I think that when people have a tube with a needle at the end of it, and someone's about to put this foreign magical fluid into their body, they think to themselves, oh, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me. Right. I'm not going to put that thing into my body. And I will say this, Bill, that overall, the last 18 months, specifically with coronavirus, the lack of a cohesive message, again, not to get too political, but the lack of a cohesive message and education from both the Biden administration and the Trump administration has been astounding to me. The idea that there aren't regular PSAs about vaccines or, you know, I don't know, a regular meetings around the CDC data set so that everybody has. Now, everybody can Google it. But I think that in this era of visual stimulation and people needing things explained to them in very basic ways, there is a sincere lack of tangible information for people so they can actually understand what's going on with their body or what's going on in their community.
Yeah, right. Yep, I agree, Jack. The education. Well, isn't that what you're trying to... you're an excellent example of this. You're actually doing it.
I mean, I try, but often, Bill, this is what happens, is that I will have... Let us say I have you on, and you're very pro-vaccine, and you are very pro-safety as a physician. And then I will have Billy on, and Billy is a fascist, so Billy will talk about how we need martial law.
Oh, gosh. Billy would not like martial law.
And then I'll have...
He would not like that.
Then I'll have, let us just say, I'll have Scontriano on, and Scontriano will just go on some random, you know, diatribe about the jab or whatever. And I try to balance it out to the best of my ability, but inevitably what happens is that the people's natural suspicion to whomever is talking immediately perks up. So if it's you, Dr. Z, people will say, this is a parrot. This isn't a man. If it's if it's Billy, it will be, oh, this is a filthy communist, which is exactly correct. So I can't fault those people.
Well, it's true. No, it's true. Nailed it.
Yeah. And then if it's Scontriano, then Scontriano is like a CIA plant. But what's so fascinating about the whole conversation around it is I think people short circuit here on Cairo Nights, Bill. Honestly, I do, because I have on people with who I disagree with, but I still love and care for. And to me, it's all about how can I get as many different perspectives on this issue as I possibly can in a week on my 3-hour show? And how can I offer my audience not just me, you know, complaining and whining? How can I also get, you know, Billy on so that he can talk about Lenin and Stalin? And how can I get Dr. Z on so you can talk about the science? How can I make basically as big of a meal of information as I possibly can for people so they don't end up in an echo chamber where I only have on a doctor who's anti-vax, or I only have on people who agree with me when it comes to vaccines, with people who agree with masks, right? If I can give people 5 or 6 different perspectives on a single issue, I feel as if I have done my job. In the same way, Bill, in your practice, you might offer someone 3 or 4 different treatment options for whatever it is that they're going through. And that's when I feel like I've done a service to my community.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just had a thought that, you know, like this whole vaccine and mask wearing, it's almost like, you know, working out and exercising. You know, some people just really don't want to do it and it hurts. You know, it's like, if you just do it, you know, if you just do it and get it over with, you're like, oh, it's so much better. And then, oh, the world is so much better because I can participate more freely. I don't know. Too far of a jump.
So, you know, I don't necessarily think so, Dr. Z, but what I do think is that I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that's too far of a jump. But I do think that, by and large, if people had more conversations around these issues and had to actually deal with perspectives that they didn't like or they didn't agree with, they would be better for it, which is why I have you on, Dr. Z. I want people to be exposed to a perspective that they might not otherwise get. And it's very easy for people to seek out information with which they agree with. It's so easy. And to try to break away from that, I think, is exactly what works with your exercise analogy, which is that if you can go out and you can find information that you disagree with and have to take it in, you're improving your skill set. And having to sit with that level of discomfort, I think, is a skill set that we've kind of lost in this bite-sized information era, where we're just taking in little pieces of information that we agree with in the form of memes or whatever it is. So, Dr. Z, in the last last 2 minutes that we have, can you give everybody your deets in case they want to find you?
Sure, it's ZinantiMD.com. It's ZinantiMD.com. If you have questions, is there something I can maybe answer for you? I'd be glad to.
And then on top of that, Dr. Z, as far as, you know, moving forward, if people want to text in a question or they want to send an email to the show, have Dr. Z answer it, 973nights@gmail.com. Bill, you're actually calling us from Cabo San Lucas, and I'm deeply envious of you being on vacation.
I'm on location. I was going to get the Jack and Dr. Z Lucha Libre COVID safe mask.
Yes, exactly. Well, that would be hilarious, actually, if it was a Lucha Libre mask that we all had to walk around. Could you imagine? Can you imagine a bunch of kids walking around with Lucha Libre masks? with a giant Dr. Z on it and a giant Jack Stein on it. All right, well, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Mr. Billy Sunshine will be on the line, and we'll be going deep into Billy Sunshine's deep, dark, secret thoughts on the Republican Party. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome to Cairo Nights, the man that I absolutely love to hate, Mr. Billy Sunshine, our live studio audience. Billy Sunshine, how are you doing this evening?
You have to stop the sentence with love. You don't have to go to hate. You just love me. That's it.
No, I love to despise you, Billy. I find it so interesting. You know, Billy, you and I were talking last night after the show, and somebody said, why do you have to be so mean to your so-called friend, Mr. Sunshine? And I think that people don't realize how close you have to be to somebody to be able just to ridicule them nonstop for 20 minutes. It's a tight bond.
That's right. It's also part of the Jewish tradition where that's what we do with each other when we're close, the boys, you know? Yep. It's like a dozen kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think, and also the idea of trying to do one-upsmanship when it comes to a good, classy insult, I think is, it's a skill set that few people possess. And speaking of one-upsmanship, Mr. Sunshine, your best friend in the world, your vote for president of the United States. No, not your dog. Andrew Cuomo. That report came out today saying that he was, in fact, a completely execrable, derelict human being, just a terrible person all around. And you love the guy, Billy Sunshine. So I'm curious what happened. At a certain point in time, you were saying that you wanted Andrew Cuomo to be president of the United States. And now it looks like his political career is probably going to be over.
Well, you're mistaken about it. I wanted him to be president of the United States. I did have friends in New York whom I love deeply, you know, Mark and Karen, who were thinking in that
term,
who really were in love with him. Yeah, I need to give them a call and see where they are today now that this has come out. You know, men and dogs are constantly sticking their business where it doesn't belong. I go to the dog park every day, and I go to sit on a seat, and some dog, some male, never females, some male has, you know, done his business there.
Okay.
And we males have a problem because the society has caught up to us. We've been behaving badly for, I don't know what, 50,000 years? Mm-hmm. It's no longer legitimate to hit a girl over the head and grab her by her hair and drag her to the cave.
Yeah, Billy, it's
we
not
can't behave that way
it's
anymore.
Not 1950 anymore. You're not a teenager. So, but Billy, the problem I think with this now is that all too often in politics, on both sides, one of the things that people will do is they will take somebody that they really like, that they think is a champion of Democratic ideas or of Republican ideas. They will hold that person up. And then, as it turns out, that person has a horrific, horrific habit of some effect. This happened with John Edwards. This happened with Cuomo. This has happened now with just a slew of Republican candidates as well. We could talk about Steve King. We could talk about Gomer. We could talk about any of these people. But then, as it turns out, again, people like to hold these people up and they say, look at this champion of conservative ideas or Democrat ideas. And then they get destroyed. Again, Billy, Andrew Cuomo won an Emmy for his coverage of coronavirus. And now
yeah, he did a great job.
But now, as it turns out, Billy, he was, he's very, very, very inappropriate with a number of women. And these aren't kind of light accusations.
Yeah, two separate things. He did do a great job when we needed it to balance what you know, we had our president say, that's nothing, it'll go away. And then you had, you know, what's his name, Cuomo, trying to deliver whatever the facts were of the day. And that was appreciative. Has nothing to do with the fact that while this was going on, he's been grabbing everything he could see.
Billy, do you not...
And we just can't behave that way anymore.
Do you not know about the other investigation that Cuomo's under? Have you not heard about this at all?
What, the nursing homes?
The nursing home. That's a huge deal, Billy. You're looking
yeah,
at
exactly.
something like 30 to 40,000 people.
Separate issue.
No, wait, hold on a second here, Billy. You just said that Cuomo's coverage of coronavirus was better than Donald Trump's. And as it turns out, he was sending people who had tested positive with coronavirus back to nursing homes.
Separate issue. Exactly.
How is that a separate issue, Billy?
Hang on. Well, if you'll be quiet and listen to me for a moment.
Okay.
I know it's hard for you. A little turnabout there. So I am a pragmatic person. So I look at everything in its own little box. And then I look at the whole thing. Okay?
Okay.
So in little boxes, horrible the way he handled the nursing home situation.
Okay.
100% wrong. His reporting on COVID when we needed it to balance the president, very good, 100% good. His behavior with women, 100% bad, okay? So let's just, you know, let's take each behavior for itself. Now, if we want to overall now go look at Cuomo and say, how good is he as a public servant going forward, I'd say, no, we can't use him. He's of no use to us further.
Oh man, Billy, this is such like a convoluted web of liberal
thank
nonsense.
You.
This is such a
thank you so much.
Okay, so if someone is lying to you with a straight face about coronavirus, and because
no, he's not,
Billy,
what do you mean? He's telling you the truth about coronavirus.
If his policy was sending hundreds and hundreds, if it was sending tens of thousands,
he didn't talk about that policy. He didn't. That's not the policy he shared on his. On his talks.
So he's...
Okay, you're having trouble separating these things. I understand.
Because they're not separate, Billy. You're short-circuiting my brain right now because you're trying to make these things separate, and they're not separate.
It's so easy to short-circuit
your
brain.
Billy, what you're basically trying to do, and forgive me for using a Nazi reference, Billy, but you're basically trying to do like this. You're trying to be like, well, you know, Hitler makes the Autobahn, and that's a good thing. Hitler killing Jews, not so much. No, Hitler is bad all around, Billy, all around. I don't care if he was, picking petunias and baking
cookies.
I
love the Volkswagen. The Volkswagen was a good thing.
Right, but I don't care. This is the thing. In totality, bad. In totality, Andrew Cuomo, very, very bad, potentially responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of people.
Yes, but grow up enough to be able to, like, you know, say this good, this bad, this good, ultimately bad. That's all. We don't need to argue about
this. Okay, so while he is on TV...
By the way, there's another issue I want to bring up, though, before we're done.
While he is on TV wearing his fun New York hat, telling everybody about how coronavirus is the biggest deal of all time, his policy, in the same way that Gretchen Whitmer had a policy.
Got it.
But Billy, because it's astounding to me that you're just not flat out turning away from this and saying Andrew Cuomo is a terrible human being. Is he a terrible human being or is he a good guy, Billy?
He's a terrible human being.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's ask Stacey.
And he gave great information about COVID when we needed it.
I hate you so much.
Nice try. It's just ridiculous what you're trying to do.
All right. Well, let's ask Stacey about how she feels about it.
Neat.
See? Neat. She was talking about my argument, not yours.
No, she was talking about mine.
By the way, real quick, one more New York story.
Okay.
So New York City just passed a law that says you don't go anywhere public without a vaccination proof. Have you heard that?
Well, I mean,
Stacey heard it.
I have heard that, Billy, and that's a stupid law. I just had Dr. Z on a few ago, and he was talking about children wearing masks, and I can't believe you guys. I sincerely can't believe the both of you just being so you guys are like hysterical women when it comes
to
this.
You're not keeping up is the problem. We know what's going on and you don't.
Oh, good one.
Dr. Z and I are older and wiser than you are.
Yeah. Well, granted, I'll give you that one, Billy. But I sincerely can't believe how communist you both have become over this issue. Dr. Z in particular. But because I love Dr. Z, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's a physician. And you, my friend, are just a flat-out commie with this entire issue.
Well, so now I see that you only respect letters after your name.
Exactly. I only respect letters after your name. But, Billy, we got to get out of here.
Okay, so from now on, the letters after my name are L... O-U, Lord of the Universe.
Stupid.
Now you respect me?
That's a stupid joke. All right, well, we'll take a really quick break when we get back. Shane Peterson is going to be giving us a story. I have no idea what he's going to bring up. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. Thankfully, we are joined a little bit early today by Stacey Jo Rost. Stacey Jo Rost, welcome to the studio. Good to have you in.
Neat.
Great. So we are going to be talking about Barack Obama's birthday. He's going to be having his 60th birthday in Martha's Vineyard. What do you think about that?
In Martha's Vineyard? Ooh.
Yeah, so Shane, now that Stacey's here, we're basically going to be going over Obama's 60th birthday. Now, there was a rumor going around, Shane, that Obama was going to have Pearl Jam there, 700 guests, all this stuff. Now, it actually turns out the actual itinerary, Pearl Jam, not there. And then it's only going to be 475 people at his 30 acres estate, and it's going to be a good time. Oprah's going to be there. George Clooney is going to be there. All of the elites will be there, and I'm sure it's going to be pretty neat, Stacey Jo Rost.
Neat.
Shane, one of the things that I find irritating about this is that, and I don't often talk about this because I don't want people to get the impression that I'm a bitter individual, but there is a circle of elites in this country that I fundamentally believe that they believe that they are better people than you and I. I fundamentally believe that George Clooney believes that he is a better human being than you or I. I fundamentally believe that Barack Obama believes that he is a better human being or more deserving of freedoms than you or I. I do not see how someone with a straight face could go around telling everybody about how dangerous coronavirus is, as Barack Obama has done many times over the last 18 months, and then decide that he is a special, special boy, and special boys get special 60th birthdays. I've got my own bone to pick with Obama, but this is exceptionally annoying. Now, this in combination with what we saw with Lollapalooza and all of the hate that Lollapalooza got, or the Sturgis rally and all of the hate that the Sturgis rally will get, you'll notice something about the Lollapalooza and the Sturgis rally. Who goes to those events? Regular people. The people that are going to Barack Obama.
Regular people do not go to Sturgis. What are you talking about? Have you ever watched videos from there? There's more leather there than a kink party, bro. It's not normal. People don't go there.
I've been to Sturgis, man, and it is a nightmare. The stories that I got from Sturgis, I cannot tell on the radio because they are that bad. I will say this, though. I did see a man and a wife. I'm assuming it was his wife. It's Sturgis. and they were both completely naked, riding on a motorcycle. But she was sitting in the front, and he was I can't describe it in full detail, but you can get the picture if that makes sense.
Yeah, they were just doing normal people stuff.
No, it was the exact opposite of that. They were basically doing naked acrobatics as they were going down the main thoroughfare in
with you know with normal people just being bystanders and watching.
What do you think about that, Stacey?
Neat.
So, but before you completely derailed my rant, Shane Peterson, basically, I am sick and tired of this idea that we live in a country where some people have more privileges than others. Some animals are more equal than others. This is not the way the country is designed to be. I know I sound like a total right-wing hack, and that's because that's what I am. You cannot have a system in which you castigate one group of people of being ignorant and dumb and unsafe and unhealthy, and we should never do this, and then have the former president of the United States go around with 475 of his closest friends. Shane Peterson, Shane, get on my level with this. You're not even mad about this. This is America, and you're telling me
I have some different thoughts about it.
I have heard nothing but coronavirus is going to kill everybody. I've heard nothing but Delta variant breakthroughs, people growing extra appendages from coronavirus, people becoming bat people from having coronavirus and sucking the blood out of other human beings. I've heard nothing but tens of thousands of people dying on a daily basis. And now what you're telling me, Shane Peterson, is that Barack Obama, with 475 of his closest friends, going to have a birthday while they're talking about having everybody wear masks again, Shane. It's ridiculous, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, Shane Peterson.
Okay, well, here's my thought about it. I guarantee you probably almost all of those guests almost guaranteed are going to be vaccinated. And if they're on a 30-acre plot of land and they got it all spread out and they can go get their finger foods from their little specified areas and they can contact trace and do their own thing like they say that they like to do, I mean, let it rip. Let it rip. There's plenty of other people throwing parties that are that big. Who cares? Jack, this whole entire time, I've been upset for the fact that you haven't acknowledged that we weren't invited. That's the thing that I'm the most upset about, is that we're not going to be guests at this actual birthday party. Because, listen, we've been able to bring up some ratings on this show ever since you and I took the reins of this show.
Yeah.
We like to goof. We like to talk the truth. We like to share right-wing hacked ideas and the ideas of a recent college graduate who fixes pools.
Yes.
But I think that we are two characters that need to be at a place like this, mingling among these people, because I think we have what it takes to be elites, Jack. But we'll be elites for the underdogs, the elites for the people. Because you want to know why? Because we're the boys of Cairo Knights. That's why, Jack.
Yes. Perfect. We should be at that party, Shane. We should be there. Why are we not there?
Now you're on my level. You're with me now. We need to be at that party.
I'm totally on your level, man. We need to be at that party. Why didn't I get an invitation? I don't know. We're going to have to actually ask Stacey Joe Rost in a couple of few, because Stacey Joe Rost is going to be coming on. Actually, no, wait a minute. Stacey Joe Rost is already here. Hey, Stacey, you ready to do the next segment?
Neat.
Okay, well, stick around, because in the next couple of few, Stacey Joe Rost and I are going to be talking about Megan Rapinoe, a.k.a. Megan Rapinoe, and whether or not she should be getting so much hate from all the right-wingers. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this.